Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are strapping on the tactical gear for one of the most critical deep dives we've probably ever done, mastering business credit in the United States. If you run a company, you know, whether you're a solopreneur in Atlanta or scaling a massive operation out in Silicon Valley, this is, well, it's your financial armor. The moment a business opens its doors, it starts building a reputation. And, you know, in the financial world, that reputation, it gets distilled right down into a score. Business credit isn't just paperwork. It's the numerical representation of your company's trustworthiness. And frankly, it dictates the terms of your future growth.
Exactly. And for so many new entrepreneurs, the whole system feels kind of opaque, right? So our mission today is really to pull back the curtain, give you the precise action plan, and highlight those unexpected nuances like, you know, specific scores and payment timing that truly separate the financial winners from the strugglers. We're basically paving the road to long-term financial independence for your business as its own entity.
And that idea of independence, that's really where the central conflict lies, isn't it? While the ultimate goal is having the business stand completely on its own two feet, every new company starts out being judged almost entirely by the owner's personal credit history.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to define that roadmap for cutting the cord, and we're going to give you the actual steps to achieve that separation. Okay, let's start with the basics then. We talk about business credit like it's this abstract thing, but what specifically are we talking about?
Fundamentally, it's your company's ability to get financing and handle debt. But, and this is crucial, the score and history, they're tracked as a separate legal entity from you, the individual owner.
Right, separate.
And that history is watched by three main scorekeepers here in the U.S., Dun & Bradstreet, Experian Business, and Equifax Business.
Okay, so what's the immediate payoff for you listening? Why should you spend the next, say, 6 months really focused on mastering this system?
Oh, the benefits pile up fast. The first one is better financing and cost savings. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. If your business has a great score, you jump to the front of the line for higher approval limits and, crucially, the lowest interest rates.
Okay.
I mean, just think about the difference between getting an equipment loan at 7% versus maybe 12% over 5 years. That difference, that could easily be your entire profit margin for the year. It's real cash savings.
That is huge. Okay, and the second benefit, which I think is absolutely key for managing growth, is supplier power. This hits your cash flow directly, right?
Totally. If a supplier trusts your credit profile, you can negotiate net 30, net 60, maybe even net 90 payment terms. So you get the raw materials or inventory now, use them to make money, and then pay the bill later. That's incredibly powerful leverage.
Yeah, that's massive flexibility.
Yeah, it really is. It's the definition of operational flexibility.
Yeah.
And hey, let's not forget the two protective benefits. Strong credit adds tangible business value and credibility. If you ever want to sell the company or maybe win a big government contract, buyers and partners, they look at that credit report as a sign of financial health and maturity.
But the most critical reason, at least in my opinion, has got to be liability protection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you form an LLC or a corporation, the whole point is to shield your personal assets, right?
Exactly.
If you start relying on personal credit cards or loans for business stuff, you essentially just, you bypass that legal protection you set up. Building business credit is basically mandatory to keep that clear legal line drawn, protecting your personal home, your savings from business risks.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay, but let's be honest about the tripwire here. Let's say I set up my LLC today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I walk into the bank tomorrow for a significant loan. Aren't they going to ask for a personal guarantee anyway?
Mm-hmm.
A PG.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sign that PG, how much liability protection am I really getting for all this effort up front?
That is the perfect question. And yeah, it's the biggest hurdle for startups. For pretty much any business under 2 years old, lenders almost universally look at your personal FICO score as like a proxy for risk. And yes, they are going to demand that personal guarantee.
Right.
So you're right. It does temporarily link the personal and the business spheres. However, the immediate protection is that you stop commingling funds, mixing personal and business money, which is absolutely fatal to that legal separation.
Yeah.
And the long-term goal, the whole point of building strong business credit, is to gather enough data, enough reputation, so that lenders eventually reduce or even eliminate the need for that personal guarantee down the road.
Okay.
Strong credit is your path to eventually removing yourself completely from the business's future financial risk.
Right, let's talk about these scorekeepers then, because business credit scores, they're completely different beasts than personal credit scores, aren't they? Different scales, different data points.
Absolutely different. So Starting with the giant in commercial data, Dun & Bradstreet, or D&B, their main score is the Paydex score. It runs from 1 to 100, and anything 80 or above is generally seen as excellent.
Okay.
And the entire point of Paydex is measuring your payment performance based on trade references, basically, how you pay your suppliers.
And to even get scored by D&B, you need their special ID number. What is it?
You absolutely have to have a DUNS number, DUNS. It's this unique 9-digit ID number. Think of it like your company's social security number for credit reporting. Without it, D&B simply can't track your business's payments.
Got it. Because then you've got the others. There's Experian Business. They also score 1 to 100 using something called IntelliScore Plus. What's Experian's particular angle?
Experian is heavily focused on risk prediction. They actually include a financial stability risk score that's specifically designed to predict the likelihood of your company defaulting or, you know, going bankrupt.
Oh, okay.
So if D&B is mostly about reliable payments in the past, Experian is kind of looking more towards future viability, future risk.
Interesting distinction. And finally, Equifax Business. Their scale is different, 101 to 992, often used by more traditional banks. But here's the curveball you mentioned. The FICO SBSS score, the small business scoring service.
Ah, yes, the SBSS score ranges from 0 to 300. And it's super critical because it's used heavily by SBA lenders, Small Business Administration lenders.
Right.
What makes it unique is that it deliberately considers both your business credit data and the personal credit score of the principal owner, all rolled together. So if you're aiming for an SBA loan, that SBSS score is absolutely king.
Wow. Okay. That's quite a few different numbers to track. So if you had to pick one single factor that you listening should obsess over, what would it be?
Oh, easy. It all boils down to this. Payment history is paramount. Across all the bureaus, this holds the most weight, period. You absolutely must pay consistently on time or, even better, early.
Well, wait. Stop right there. Did you just say early? You're telling me D&B doesn't just care if I paid on time, but if I paid before the due date?
Yes. That's the specific insight, isn't it?
That is exactly what we came for. What's the rule there?
Okay, so the D&B Paydex score gives its absolute highest marks, a perfect score of 100 only to businesses that consistently pay their bills early. We're talking ahead of the due date, often like 10 to 15 days before a net 30 term is actually up.
Wow.
So yeah, paying on day 30 might be technically on time, but paying consistently around day 15, that's what gets you the perfect score. It actually rewards proactive cash management, not just bare minimum compliance.
Incredible. That means just being organized is actually worth real money, or at least better credit. Okay, what's the second most important factor after payments?
That would be your credit utilization ratio. This is basically how much of your available credit you're actually using at any given time. The general benchmark is to keep it below 30%, but honestly, the ideal target is more like 10% or less.
10%, okay.
Yeah. High utilization signals financial stress to the bureaus, even if you're making all those payments on time.
Gotcha. And the other factors that play a role?
Sure. Age of credit history is big older accounts show stability, longevity matters. Having a good credit mix helps too, showing you can responsibly manage different types of credit like trade lines, credit cards, maybe installment loans. And naturally, public records are huge negatives. Things like bankruptcies, which can stick around for up to 10 years, tax liens, legal judgments, those act like massive anchors dragging your score down.
All right, enough theory. Let's get tactical. Let's say I'm opening my doors next week. What is the absolute first step I need to take to establish that financial legitimacy and start building this credit profile?
Okay, first things first, you build the foundation of legitimacy. Number one, formalize the entity. Ditch being a sole proprietor or partnership. You need an LLC or a corporation. It's basically mandatory for that liability shield and for credit separation.
Makes sense.
Second, immediately obtain an EIN, your employer identification number. It's free from the IRS website, takes minutes, and you need it for opening bank accounts and applying for credit. Third, establish a real physical presence. You need a legit, consistent business address on all your records, not just a PO box or a mail drop. Fourth, get a dedicated business phone number and make sure it's listed with directory assistance, like 401N. Creditors and bureaus actually use this to help verify your real business.
Directory assistance, interesting.
And fifth, yes, you absolutely need a professional-looking website. It's just part of the modern credibility checklist for lenders and suppliers.
Okay, foundation built. Now we need the reporting engine running. That first piece of business ID we talked about, the DUNS number?
Yeah.
That sounds like it could be a massive bureaucratic bottleneck for a startup that needs funding. Like, now, how long does getting one actually take?
Yeah, you definitely hit the friction point there. Getting your DUNS number for free from DMV, it can take up to 30 business days. That's like 6 weeks. It can feel like an eternity when you're starting out.
Oof.
The good news is you can usually pay DMV for an expedited process. It costs money, but it cuts that wait time down significantly, usually to around 5 to 8 business days. But it is a necessary step. You simply cannot build your DMV credit profile without it.
Right. So while we're maybe waiting for that DUNS number, we need to separate the money flows, correct?
Absolutely critical. Open business bank accounts and use them exclusively. This isn't just a suggestion. It's like the cardinal rule of good business hygiene: never, ever commingle personal and business funds. Use these accounts only for business income and expenses. It maintains that legal shield we talked about.
Got it. Okay, now for the part that feels like building, getting that initial score boost using trade credit.
Yeah.
What's the first kind of low-hanging fruit here?
Right, we start with vendor accounts, also known as trade credit. These are suppliers who sell you goods or services now and let you pay later, typically on net 30 terms, meaning you have 30 days to pay. The absolute crucial step here, though, is you must verify that the vendor actually reports your payment activity to one or more of the business credit bureaus. Because if they don't report, all your discipline in paying them doesn't help build your score.
Okay. So I need to ask them upfront, do you report to DMB or Experian?
Exactly. You need confirmation. Now, to build a positive history fast, especially when you have none, are there specific companies maybe known for being easier to get approved with?
Yes, definitely. These are often called your starter vendors. Think companies like Uline for shipping and packaging supplies, Quill for office supplies, maybe Grainger for industrial or MRO items. They often approve new businesses with very little history, precisely because they know new businesses need this.
Smart.
The strategy is pretty simple. Open accounts with maybe 3 to 5 of these starter vendors. Make small, regular purchases you actually need, and then pay those invoices early. Remember that Paydex 100 goal we discussed. So the key here is consistency over volume, right? Like, I don't need to max out my Uline credit line buying a pallet of tape I don't need. I just need to reliably order, say, a box of pens or some labels every month and pay it off immediately, like way before it's due.
That is precisely the game, especially at the start. You're essentially manufacturing positive data points for the credit bureaus. They don't care so much about the dollar amount on those early trades. They care about seeing the perfect, predictable execution of the payment obligation over and over again.
Got it. Okay, so once those starter trade lines are hopefully reporting successfully for a few months, the next layer up is usually the business credit card.
Yes, they're crucial too. Now, most business cards will require a personal credit check and probably a personal guarantee when your business is new. That's just reality. But they're generally easier to qualify for than a big bank loan. And importantly, they are excellent reporters to the business bureaus.
So use them strategically.
Absolutely. Small, regular purchases. Pay the entire balance in full every single month before the due date to avoid interest and keep that utilization rate super low. Ideally, under 10% of the credit limit.
Which brings us right back to the number one rule we establish: prioritize on-time payments, or rather, early payments.
It is the bedrock. It underlies the entire scoring system. So your actionable strategy here has to be total organization. Set up auto pay for everything you possibly can. Maintain a detailed, proactive payment calendar. Know your vendor due dates. Cross-reference them. Discipline is the only thing that drives these scores upward consistently.
Okay, we've laid out the plan. Now let's manage expectations for you listening. This isn't an overnight thing, right? It's not instant gratification. How long does it realistically take to see results? What's the kind of timeline we're looking at?
Yeah, it truly is a marathon, not a sprint. That first phase is really 0 to 6 months. Foundation and initial profile emergence. You're busy getting your DUNS number, setting up those first few starter vendor accounts, maybe getting that first business card. You're waiting for the initial scores to even appear, which can sometimes be low because there's just not much data yet.
Okay, so patience in the first 6 months.
Hmm.
When do we start seeing the effort really pay off in terms of score improvement?
Usually between 6 to 12 months is when the profile starts to strengthen quite dramatically. If you've got 6+ months of consistent, positive payment history reporting from multiple sources, your score should start moving solidly into the good to excellent range. Think like 75 to 85 or higher on those 100-point scales.
And that's significant because.
Because this is typically the point where you might start qualifying for more traditional, maybe even unsecured bank lines of credit, not just vendor trade lines or basic cards. And then the real reward for that year or so of discipline, that comes around 12 to 24 months. By then, you should have a well-established profile with excellent scores, potentially in the 85 to 100 range. This opens the door to premium financing options, better terms, higher limits, and most importantly, it significantly reduces your reliance on having to provide those personal guarantees we talked about earlier.
That's the goal: financial independence for the business. Okay, let's wrap up with the danger zones. What are the common, maybe sometimes invisible mistakes that can completely derail all this progress?
Okay, the number one killer, and we've hit this a few times, but it's worth repeating, is mixing personal and business finances, commingling. If you regularly use your personal debit card to pay a business bill or vice versa, you risk piercing that corporate veil, undermining your legal separation, and basically destroying the distinct credit identity you work so hard to build.
Yeah, makes the whole LLC corp structure kind of pointless from a liability standpoint. What's the next big pitfall?
Ignoring utilization. This trips a lot of people up. You might get approved for, say, a $5,000 credit line with a vendor or on a card. But if you consistently charge $4,500 every month, even if you pay it off in full and on time, that persistently high utilization ratio signals financial distress to the bureaus. Keep it low, really low.
Right, under 30%, ideally under 10%.
Huh.
What about when you're actually applying for credit?
Two things there. First, avoid applying for too much credit too quickly. Every application can trigger a hard inquiry on your report, and too many inquiries in a short period looks desperate and raises red flags. Build your credit gradually, strategically. Second, never make the mistake of closing old accounts, especially credit cards, even if you don't use them much anymore. Closing an old account reduces your overall available credit, which hurts utilization, and crucially, it decreases the average age of your credit history. Both are negative factors for your score. Keep them open, maybe make a tiny purchase once every 6 months to keep them active if needed. And one last one, maybe less obvious, don't just assume. Missing the fine print by assuming all vendors or lenders report to the business credit bureaus when, in reality, many smaller ones might not. If they don't report, they simply aren't helping you build that score. Always verify their reporting practices up front. #, #, Doutro. So to kind of wrap up this whole deep dive, building solid business credit, it's absolutely a mandatory long-term commitment, but the payoff is huge. Financial flexibility, negotiating power, and a real competitive advantage.
And interestingly, the very same organizational discipline that's required to earn excellent credit, you know, the meticulous on-time payments, the low utilization, the clean separate records, that's the exact same discipline that fundamentally drives sustained business profitability anyway. The two go hand in hand.
Right. And here's a final provocative thought for you to chew on. You can actually build incredibly strong business credit entirely without ever taking on a single dollar of interest-bearing debt. Think about that. You can achieve the highest possible scores just through disciplined use of that net 30, net 60 trade credit we talked about, and by religiously paying your business credit card balances in full every single month before any interest ever accrues. The financial independence you want for your business entity really starts with the actionable steps we've outlined today. Getting that DUNS number sorted, carefully setting up those first starter vendor accounts, committing absolutely to clean financial separation. Start applying those steps now, even the small ones, because the foundation you build today is truly what will secure the best terms, the best rates, and the best opportunities for every stage of your company's future growth.